When his night begins, the whole creation vanishes, that is, merges into the unmanifest. In this way, all creation appears and vanishes, and does so endlessly. Mahatma Gandhi's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. This is Indian Noir. You're listening to Season 2, Episode 1 of His Night Begins. Virat made two stops on the way to the Iyer and Sons depot. Once to collect explosives from Ledu Vinayak, who gave him three small blocks of C4. What sort of damage are we talking about? Ledu cleaned his ears with a bud.
What sort of damage are you looking to cause?
Level a small office or a few vehicles.
It will do just fine,
Ledu said, pressing the bud deeper into his ears. Usual method?
Yep. Stick it to the desired surface, flick that red switch on the transmitter, and press the green button on the remote when you are ready,
he said, throwing a small, chunky, battery-shaped remote at Virat. How long? Once I have pressed this button.
Instant.
Ledu said, analysing the brown wax at the end of the bud. They shook hands and exchanged the goods for money. Then Virat stopped at the petrol station and rang Nirmala.
Darling, it's so good to hear from you.
Virat just breathed.
Hello, you there? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
What happened? This is an unusual call.
Just.
Oh yeah? You miss me?
Silence. Baby? I just wanted to hear your voice.
I don't think you're okay.
Got to go. Virat bought a Diet Coke and some chewing gum and filled up the Jeep. Then he opened the boot and looked at the long rectangular case. It had been a while since he had used an M16 rifle with a scope. Earlier, a quick call to Ramalingam Chettiar yielded some information on the proprietors of Iyer and Sons, father-son transport barons Naresh and Ramesh Iyer. The Iyers were feudal landlords. They had been so for nearly a century. They owned almost a quarter of the grazing grounds in the state. They were in cattle trade, the palm oil business, and also ran a transport company. Chettiar told him that they were suspected of using their trucks for illegal arms trade, transportation of criminals, and aiding sex slavery rackets. Virat was hoping he didn't have to use the rifle. He preferred close kills, but he also believed in being prepared and getting the job done because the Iyers seemed like people who would have hired guns protecting them.
Have you prayed to your mother today?
Naresh Iyer said, pointing to the picture of his wife. Ramesh gave him a guilty smile.
How can you forget?
Appa, I prayed every other day this week.
You must pray to her every day. She was a Mahalakshmi, you know.
Ramesh shook his head and prayed, just to please his father.
I can't believe she's gone,
Naresh said. A yellow flame flickered in the reflection of the black and white photo of a lady in a Kanchipuram sari, with a large emerald necklace. Her hair was up in a bun and covered in jasmine flowers. Naresh closed his eyes and wished her eternal peace, wherever she was.
"It will be 3 years this November," he said.
Ramesh approached his father and gently kissed his bald head. Naresh gripped the arms of his son tightly, hoping to wish away the pain of his loss. He had met his wife at a Carnatic music concert in Tirunelveli. She was singing Kalyani Raga from the stage in a yellow sari. Naresh Iyer lost his heart to the voice. He waited for her backstage and asked her to write down her address on a piece of paper. Naresh always liked to joke to his son that she was not at all shy to provide details.
"I walked straight into her house and asked her father for her hand without batting an eyelid," he used to say with a laugh.
She had given him 33 years of marriage that was blissful and memorable. Then a bout of fever took her away on a rainy summer afternoon. "At least she left me with the son," Naresh thought. Ramesh, an MBA graduate from a prestigious UK university, was the apple of his eye. Diligent, trustworthy, responsible and intelligent, he was everything a parent could ask for in a child. When so many of his business friends were lamenting the fact that their children were incapable of taking ownership of their empires, Naresh had no worries on that front. Legal or illegal, this was their inheritance, and Ramesh was every bit his father's son when it came to preserving business deals and the constant flow of money to their coffers. Naresh was in the process of looking for a bride for Ramesh from one of the rich families down south, which would further solidify his position as a man of power and wealth. Wedding, grandkids, he had so much to look forward to before he left this earth to meet his darling wife in heaven.
"Has the truck left with the girls?" Naresh inquired.
Suddenly, Ramesh's mobile rang. "Hello? Ha. Yeah. Yes. Good." Naresh played with the paperweight on the table. Ramesh put the phone back in his pocket and said, "They got him."
"Good! You asked them to bring the journalist here?"
"Yes. They will be here soon." The television, which was on mute, flashed images of the attack on Ranjaset's brothel.
"Put the volume up, son," Naresh said.
Father and son listened to the frenzied reporter on site. He mentioned that Ranjaset had been found murdered in his garage. A senior investigator was suggesting it was a mob hit, that they rammed into the compound with several four-wheel drives and took out Sait and his guards. According to the news anchor, who finished off the segment, rival brothel king Paramveer Singh was a chief suspect at this stage.
"Is our truck back from Ranjaset's brothel?"
Naresh inquired in an alarmed voice. "Should be here in a few hours. That Surjit Singh makes far too many stops on the way to entertain his dick," Ramesh said.
"Fuck.
Call him,"
Naresh said angrily. Ramesh tried the driver's phone a few times. Then he hung up and shook his head. Naresh's sigh filled the room.
"Don't worry, Appa. Surjit never picks up his phone. He will be here soon. They didn't mention our truck in the report anyways."
"Keep trying him though. I will kill that fucker when he gets back."
Ramesh nodded. Naresh kept watching the news. A report on a new breed of dog a rich socialite's wife had imported from Switzerland.
"Ranja did manage to rub off people the wrong way at times. Do you remember the last time we spoke to him about the increase in our rate?"
Naresh said. Ramesh nodded.
"That low-caste fucker thinks he can put a set at the end of the name and boss people like us who have royal blood in our veins."
"He was a tad offensive about the whole issue," Ramesh agreed.
I wanted to put a bullet in his head right there.
Ramesh laughed at his father's temper.
Stop laughing. I was going to end our business with that untouchable anyways. We have other players who are willing to pay more. So good riddance, I say.
Naresh spat into a copper vessel next to him.
Well, at least he wasn't killed in a police raid, Appa. As long as our business is safe.
I want you to get a few more guards, though. As a precaution.
Yes, father, Ramesh said.